everybody, and welcome back to another Ramblecast. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, it is a busy summer so far. Is it technically summer? June 23rd-ish or something?
10 more days.
Okay.
I think.
I'm going to call it summer. Summer's here early, and it's busy.
Feels like summer.
Brad Shoemaker, how has your summer been so far?
What is this summer? It is a hot, blank summer.
Smoky over
hot.
Here. Hot, hot,
stinging, hot, smoky hot, summer.
Like, who is the sun? Like, this, you know, it's like hot.
Who are the boys of summer?
Hot, it's a hot Lynch summer. I don't know. What do we got?
Hot, I don't know. The whole summer feels like it's kicking off with all of this stuff with the indictments and stuff on like a just pins and needles, you know? Just like, oh shit, we're doing this or we're just lock the doors.
Hot upheaval summer.
Yeah, right. Hot.
I mean, we've been living through hot upheaval summer since, I'm going to say, like, 8 years ago.
I just feel like it's really just, like, it feels like ready to pop off already, and we're not even in August, you know? It's like, yeah. Alex Navarro, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm fucking brains fried right now. Just a lot of things to juggle at the moment with the whole having a house now and putting things in the house and having people work on the house before we put our things in the house.
You got guys coming to work on the house like this
today.
Week? Oh, jeez.
They started in there today.
Great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Electrical stuff.
Rip it all
you
out.
Saw the house.
I did. I went to your house. I loved your house. I actually genuinely think your house is kind of awesome.
Rate the house.
Yeah, give me a out of 5-star rating, no half stars.
What is my metric here? Like houses in general or places I would want to live?
I mean, I've never rated a house before.
Yeah.
You have more experience with this than I do, so use your best judgment.
Okay. I'm gonna say 4-star, 3.5, 4 stars. I mean the
Room for improvement.
A lot of built-ins, which I really like. A lot of built-in shelves all over the place because I have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I really like it. I think for my family, we'd probably need the half bath. You guys talked about that. You know, maybe putting one in. Big yard like that. The street's a little narrow getting to your place. Like there's like there are two-way streets, but when we were pulling out, remember, there was like cars parked on both
sides.
My
street's okay.
No, your
it's
street's
the other
fine.
Streets.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with those other streets.
Those other streets. They're a mess.
I need to mark that when I come visit to like, you know, be like, okay, just go down from the main street to your street. So like the busy streets to your street. But yeah, I really liked it. Very cool
Thank
house.
You.
And I liked your basement. And
I don't know what I would have done if you had come in and be like, oh man, I don't know about this place.
Like, oof.
Oof.
What
oof.
Is.
Yeah, you should have done this.
Is it too late?
Yeah, we kind of, it kind of is.
Is it too late? Did this wall come with the house? No, I liked it. It's cool. And I have your bag of your very practical housewarming gifts very nearby. I happened to find myself within 5 minutes of Alex's house on Saturday. And was like, I'm just going to come by your house. I'm just going to come by your house.
Came by. You brought black and white cookies.
Those black and white cookies were left over from my kid's piano recital. And
that's fine. They're now left over in my stomach.
They're pretty good, actually.
Not too good for some secondhand cookies.
No.
No, hell no.
No. I think that package, I consolidated. That was like a non-opened package and then threw all the other black and white cookies in there.
It was an Enemans. They got a counter at the end of the aisle.
They were pretty good. Now I'm excited for you to get your stuff in there. I'm excited for them to finish their electrical work. And I, you know, I said it when I was in your house. I'm excited for you to just sit on a couch and watch some TV in your house. Like just
chill.
I'm
excited to have all services running through the house that need to be running and to have furniture in there and to just be able to take a load off and say, cool, I don't have to go back to Queens now.
That's right. Or like nobody's coming in. I don't have to sign something today. Lock your door and just hide in your house.
I will lock my door when I put a different lock on that door
because they
had some of those like weird like e-locks like electronic key fob locks that I think was tied to some kind of ring system, and I'm like, I don't want any of that.
Hey, look, people want it, but the thing is like you didn't even have the code. I guess you could reset it. You're just like, I want a lock.
There is a reset function in there somewhere, but I think I just want a regular deadbolt.
Sure, we'll put that in. I'll come over and put that in.
Yeah.
You want a lock? I'll get you a lock.
I'd love to have a lock.
Let's go. I'll bring my lock picking gear too, and we'll test it out. Make sure I can lock pick my way into your house. This week,
mm-hmm.
kids,
mm-hmm.
orchestral concert for my mm-hmm. daughter, son's band concert for his middle mm-hmm. school, piano recital, all in the same week, all in the same week. Too much.
It's a lot of kid music.
It's a lot of like ice cream affairs, you know, too many ice cream affairs.
You know, do you have to go to everything?
I was raised on the too many like after school specials and like that genre of sitcom where the kid looks over at the empty seat and their parents not there. So yes, is the answer.
Oh, you don't want to be that dad.
It's exactly right. I don't want to be the empty seat. You know,
I ran into a friend and his wife just like walking down the street here a month ago ish. Their child was at a Little League game. And they had just gone for a stroll and they were like, yeah, you know, it's the fourth game this week. That's a lot of games.
It's
like, you know,
that is,
you know, maybe we can just like go to walk around, stretch our legs a little bit for this one. Cause we've been to three others already this week.
Baseball,
that's a lot of Little League games in 1 week.
Baseball is the worst. It's playoffs or something.
Maybe I didn't ask, but yeah,
it's too many. Baseball is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, that's just true in general.
Swim team is early and late. There's nothing in between. It's either like god awful early or like what? It's like, why are you swimming at midnight? And those meets are long. But baseball, I was like, well, how do you have? How do you have four things this week? And it's just like, no, that's
there's baseball. Never not baseball happening when baseball is happening.
Yeah. So I've made it to every one of the games, not every practice. I don't sit through the practice. Practice is a drop-off affair. The games, though, I sit there, wave.
Mm-hmm. Go sports.
Yeah, sports. Get on. Mm-hmm. I know enough about baseball to kind of know what's going on. But yeah, it's this week. And then we had all of the not E3 press conference-y stuff happening this week. And then just
you're
went.
Not in town for.
No. But, you know, it's one of those things where I need that downtime cycle. Like I need that weekend is precious to me. I need that. Okay. Decompression cycle. So when I had all the stuff and then I was at your house on Saturday. So I went from the piano recital to your house and then we went out to dinner, which was awesome. And then Sunday I played out at quote unquote church in the church band. It's not real church, but it feels like church. And then came right home and did the Microsoft thing. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready for a weekend. And I was like, oh, man. Weekend.
There's not much of it left, unfortunately.
Weekend's over. And I got my weekend blues on.
I'm just going to say, you know, I understand it's summer games, stuff's going on. I know why you do it. But Microsoft, if you could just find a way to not do one of these on a Sunday next time, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird, especially thinking about they're just pressing play on a file now.
Yeah.
Not like they had a theater rented out. I mean, obviously the Sunday timing when there was an E3 to schedule around made perfect sense. Like they kind of had to do that. In fact, those slots were definitely assigned by the ESA at some point.
The press conference slots.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, they probably had this scheduled from before they canceled E3 this time and all that stuff. So I guess
maybe next time.
That was just a legacy timing thing, but I mean, we'll see what happens next year. We'll see what happens when there is no E3, like officially no E3, it's totally dead and in the ground.
Right. Like
what kind of schedule emerges once that's just gone?
I bet they'll still do, the clump of summer stuff. I mean, we'll talk about all this stuff on the podcast, as we kind of recap these things, but suffice it to say, looking forward to at least a little bit of chill in the coming week. I got also super mad. I had this tiny little toaster oven. I've talked about my tiny little toaster oven before. The tiny little toaster, the brave little toaster oven.
Mm-hmm.
It's
the toaster oven that could.
Yeah, it was an old little Black & Decker-ish one. I don't know the brand. You just turn the knob and a heating element goes on and then... But the toast function flaked out twice. And then I bought a fancy new toaster oven and I had been really resistant and hesitant to do it because I was like, this has a circuit board in it. That's going to break at some point, and I won't be able to open it up and fix it because I'm not going to go in and get crazy on a circuit board. Freaking thing crapped out. Just a big
nerve.
Yeah, just a big old blinking like E06 on the display, and I go look up what's E06, and I'm like, oh, that's a you send that back, unplug it, and send that back now thing. I was like, you have to be kidding me. I've had this thing for 3 months.
That's not a long time.
That's not
all.
A long time.
Who makes the toaster oven?
Breville?
You put them on
Breville?
Blast.
Breville?
Breville?
My wife hates it because it's huge. And I was like, yeah, okay, that is a big toaster oven.
I'm shocked you have I think we've talked about this before, but I'm shocked you have a toaster oven that can display an error code.
Yeah, so it's got a big display on it, and like again, she hates it. She's like, well, "Can we just have our old toaster oven back? It was tiny." And I'm like, "But this one, I don't know." And she's like, "Well, can you send it back and not get it back?" I was like, "I don't think that's how it works." But to be fair, they did just do a thing that's like, "All right, yes, you clearly just bought this. You can send it back." But it was first time I ever saw this. Like, you could bring this toaster oven to the UPS store with a piece of paper, and they'll just pack it up for you and take it back. I was like, well, that's cool for me. Sucks for that guy. But
yeah, that's not fun.
Yeah.
But direct to Breville, or did you get it from Amazon? They've been doing that with Amazon for a long time.
This was, I think, direct to Breville. Even though I bought it, I think, off of Amazon, this was direct to Breville.
Just do what we did. Walk to Walgreens about 10 or 11 years ago and buy whatever toaster oven they had.
There's a toaster toast.
Thing is still kicking.
There you go. Like, that's the kind that we have, and I broke it out of storage. I was mere moments from throwing that old one away, and I broke it out and was like, this thing's still toast. If I put it on broil, it broils.
Mm-hmm. I bet there's no circuit board in that thing.
Hell no. It is just, like I said, it is a turn the knob, and the electricity goes through a coil. Yep. Uh-huh. That's it.
This is a long-winded way of telling me did not get me a broken toaster oven for as my housewarming gift.
This is my long way of telling you, yes, your toaster oven.
You sent it back, at least.
Yes, that's right. Your housewarming gifts are awesome, and I tried.
You don't have to tell me; it's fine.
I tried to really think of things that are like, okay, what are things that I that's not garbage.
What do you get the guy who has everything?
One of those live, love, laugh posters.
Oh, that's really going to tie the space together.
Live, love, laugh. And it has the keys underneath it and a bless this mess thing for
Look, man, my design ethos is Target Home Goods and nothing else.
Uh-huh. I want your place to look like the best Airbnb it could possibly look like.
Yikes.
Okay. Here's a question. Speaking of decorating, putting things on walls.
Uh-huh.
The ethics of pulling an image from the internet and making a print of it and putting it on your wall? What do you think? Something you can't buy a print of.
Okay, already? Something you can't buy a print of. That's the first check. High enough quality though to print?
That's a whole other can of worms I actually got out there looking at like DPI two dimensions recommendations, and people were like, less than 300 DPI, you might not want to print that.
Yeah.
At 300 DPI, this would be quite small.
Okay.
But
yes,
maybe I saw one print shop saying like, we can do 180 and up.
Okay.
DPI.
At what scale? Is it like Fillmore size, bigger poster?
This would be pretty small.
Okay.
Should I just say what it is?
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
It is the cover art from NES Bionic Commando.
You are well within your ethical.
Yeah. Who's going to stop you?
Yes. I do not remember or can think of a for sale version of that is replicable.
I mean, they're definitely not. I mean, I did pull it out of a Twitter thread about the artist. It was like a big long profile of Frank Sirocco, I think is his name.
Okay.
Did like tons of arcade cabinets and NES covers and stuff back in the day. Still out there, still painting, but. You know the one?
Yeah, where he's swinging.
Swinging,
like sunlight behind
dudes,
him.
Dudes and robots all over the place and stuff.
Yeah.
In that thread profiling his career, they had like a pretty high res, nice, like no NES like box treatment on it, just the painting. trying to find it so I can tell you what the resolution is.
I can vouch for you and say if that dude offered prints, you would buy one. If he
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would rather pay money for a nicer print than I can make from this Twitter image. As far as I can tell, this is the highest res version of this image on the internet. I don't know where the tweeting account got it from, but it's certainly the highest res one I could find.
Okay.
I also found an auction that suggested the original painting may have sold for like $90,000.
90?
At one point.
Dang.
Which,
holy shit.
I get it.
That's
not even the Famicom one that has like Hitler on it.
Wait, is literal Hitler on that cover?
I think they may have changed it at some point, but I do believe the original version of the Famicom box art had a looming Hitler over it.
Oh my god, I need to pull that up.
The story
is well known that, I mean, that's like the subtitle of that game, right?
Yeah.
Like the resurrection of Hitler and the whole Master D thing in the U.S. Everybody knows all that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find, wow, you are not kidding. Holy shit.
I am not kidding about that Hitler.
Wow.
I would never joke about that.
It's like very demonic looking, like fire, like flames everywhere. Looks like.
Okay. So don't put that one on your wall.
They may have amended that at some point.
I mean, that would be a conversation piece, just not a conversation you want to have to have.
You're a historical collector. Mm-hmm.
That American box art, that painting is just seared into my mind to the point that when I saw it, I was like, oh man.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I want to be that guy that puts a painting of an NES game on the wall, but I kind of do.
I think a man in your profession, especially one that has been doing it as long, like there is absolutely no judgment of you deciding that something like that belongs on your wall.
I also think, and now I don't know if this is within bounds, but I also think you are well within your rights to ask the artist if they sell prints. And and be like, hey, I love this thing. Do you sell prints of these have prints available? Because he might. How cool would it be to get a signed one on your wall?
I wonder if he does not own that. I wonder if Capcom owns that work.
They might.
It's possible. But if it's, you know, he might just be able to get you a print of it, you know.
I mean, if you want a t-shirt of it, all you have to do now on Twitter is say, boy, I'd really like a t-shirt of that. And 7 bots will instantly appear to say, here's a t-shirt.
People trolling the t-shirt bots has become a very amusing phenomenon.
Oh, gosh.
It's especially amusing because it does legitimately work every single time.
I've never seen it not work.
Wait, you just write, I would love a t-shirt of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And it just responds back with...
Some bot just appears and be like, here's the link.
And so now people are out there putting some, like, very inappropriate text out there saying, boy, I'd love a t-shirt of this. And, like, immediately t-shirt links start popping up.
I wonder if they make money off of it. Now, you know, those print-on-demand shirts. Somebody's probably clicking it and being like,
Wait, you mean the people...
The trolling ones.
I don't know about that. No. I think whoever runs the bots are the ones making the money.
I'm not saying the people who are saying. I just mean, you know, even if 1 out of 1,000 people buys a t-shirt, right? You probably make, I don't know how much a t-shirt costs.
I bet those t-shirts look like absolute garbage, but like, that's really not the point. The point is that like, it's just insane how bad the bot problem has gone since they quote unquote fix the bots.
All right. Can I get a gut check here? I just wrote a chapter title here. Trolling the t-shirt bots is praxis. What do you think?
Yes. Okay. Agreed.
I'm not sure if that's quite.
Wait,
I don't know if that's quite a revolutionary act, but.
Can you make sure you tweet when the podcast goes up so I can respond to that tweet with saying I'd get a t-shirt of that. And so I could get the t-shirt of that title.
Of that podcast.
Yeah.
It will try to find a way to put that podcast on a t-shirt. They won't know how. It might actually break the bot system by doing it.
Do they do images on them or is it just text?
Oh, yeah. It's all images.
And now I'm starting to see people like try to troll an image into a design and having the bot pull a completely unrelated image for reasons that are not clear. Like it's getting pretty meta out there.
Waging war. Oh, meta's out there. All right. Waging war on the bots. I love it. I don't know. I don't go on Twitter much anymore, so I guess I don't see it too much.
I wish I didn't.
I noticed I don't use like Reddit that much either, but the whole Reddit privacy thing
on right now.
It is.
Nobody's using Reddit today.
I was like, what did I have to go look up? Oh, I was looking up some D&D stuff and I was like, oh, I need, let me go check out some stuff for my class. I'm going to like pick a feat soon. And I was like, oh, I wonder what the Reddit of like D&D would recommend. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. It is on lockdown. Yes. Which is,
I thought just
can
today.
You clarify a little bit about what's happening there? I know it's related to their API and some very unpopular decisions, but I don't know the full details.
They're charging for API access, which is basically the thing Twitter tried to do and kind of didn't follow through on. But I think Reddit is just going full bore.
Okay.
For reasons I don't really understand. I mean,
gotta make the numbers go up.
Condé Nast needs to get paid, I guess. But like a lot of people use third-party apps to access Reddit and will no longer be able to do so.
So there are third-party apps for moderators for certain Reddits that would use the API for moderation tools and, you know, everything that hooks into accessing whatever data and interacting with whatever data is on there. And some of the quotes I saw, and I don't know how realistic these are, were like, this would cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars in API request charges at this rate, you know, for this model. So
bad.
Is this where we're at now with the world of interactive web 2.0 is now locked down all the APIs?
I think the problem is when the users are your product, you don't go into that business thinking that at some point the users, like literally the product you are putting out, is will actually turn on you. And that's short-sighted, but ultimately if you make decisions like this, you are putting yourself in a position where the thing you are literally selling is the people that don't like you.
It is, the whole thing's a little unnerving to me because it does kind of lend credence to that idea that you've seen in the Elon Twitter era that, like, I mean, the Silicon Valley executive class's animus toward both its workforce and its user base is like pretty clear. But that whole idea of like, you only need one of them to do a thing and then the rest of them are just being like, well, I guess we can get away with that now. We're going to do it too. You know what I mean? Like,
well, let's see how it works out. I mean, if it really shoots, it's like, I have hit now, and I didn't think I used Reddit that much. I have hit that lockdown thing on twice that I can remember. And I didn't think I used Reddit that much. And none of it related to like Nextlander or video games at all. One was for a coding thing and one was for D&D. And I was like, damn, okay, right, all right. And I realized what I do is I use Reddit when I want, it's going to sound weird, but when I want to ensure I'm seeing a human response to something, I will like be like, okay, what is, so that it's not a generated or like a write-up article that's too long. I just like, it's almost like looking for a human user review, right? Like I just want to hit a human thing on here. And it's weird, you know, it's a weird thing.
It's just absolutely staggering seeing the list of subreddits that as they are all going, you know, going private and realizing one, boy, there's some filthy shit on that website. And two, wow, the people who are purveyors of that filthy shit, even they are like, nope. The people who run face down, ass up have gone private.
I need a t-shirt of that.
Them right next to our Bitcoin.
Yeah. I mean, look, APIs, people charge for APIs all the time, but usually it's for commercial use or, you know, at certain rates they'll charge for them. I don't actually know technically what they're instituting. I didn't look over the details for the rates and what's going on, but clearly somebody done fucked up over there. APIs are cool.
Yeah.
Freedom, baby. Freedom ain't free. As Ubisoft would say, freedom is an illusion. Well, no, they did something with freedom today.
Ubisoft, they always say something about freedom.
Don't take freedom. Take your freedom. Freedom's freedom. And what were we talking about? Reddit. Freedom toaster ovens.
Cool 80s paintings of video games.
That's right. Go get your lithograph, your signed print. The one of one.
If I had both more walls and more money, I would absolutely get like if I had the kind of money where you could spend $90,000 on a painting, I would totally do it. I would 100% get like, I don't know. I'd have to go look at the Atari 2600 catalog because like all of those were painted covers.
Sure. Berserk. So
like, yeah. Like Combat, haunted house is an incredible one.
So are those out there circulating? Like, are there,
I think so. I think, yeah. Excuse me. I think collectors may have scooped up at least some of that stuff.
Okay.
There's like a decent number of NES ones too, though, you know,
who has the Contra painting? That's what I want to know.
Contra is one I was looking at after I found this Bionic Commando art. I was like, I wonder what other NES, like, what is the canon of NES, like, painted and illustrated covers?
Konami did a lot of those.
Contra is a good one, but Konami had that, I don't know what would you call that sort of, like, slatted design or whatever, where, like, the sides were, the margins were gray, and they had to kind of chopped up the edges of the painting.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
You'll
yeah.
know what I mean when you see
right
it.
Now, and yeah. I'm staring right at
the
it.
The frame like, around it. Yeah.
You kind of can't get a good sense of the entire painting in the Konami boxes, mm-hmm. but the Contra painting is triply so because of the extreme Schwarzenegger Stallone ripoff aspect.
Mm-hmm.
The Contra painting is a good one.
I'm trying to think. Nintendo's were all. Like
I was looking at those
play?
Too. So definitely in the early years, it was just like super. In fact, like. I was looking at the Super Mario Brothers and Metroid ones yesterday, going like, bold move at those resolutions to just blow those sprites up to full size on the box. They would also add like little motion streaks and goofy effects to those sprites.
What do they call those? The black box ones?
I don't know if there's a term for it, but then like as of at least like Mario 2, they were starting to do just like illustrated covers.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I'd get some of those. I'd probably get if I had, again, yes, $90,000 painting money, maybe a couple of Nintendo Powers if they had a high-res prints of those or paintings. I mean, the painting is very particular. That's like a very particular thing. Because, you know, if you got the original painting, that's pretty baller. Like, that's, you know, especially if there's one of them. I thought I looked up the Haunted House thing once, and there's like a couple of drafts or drawings of that Haunted House art that show like the compositing and what some of the, cause it's such like a layered design from Haunted House.
Yeah.
Show what some of the original underlayment looked like in some of those things. It might've been on the, on the Atari collection. Some of the original.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. They have a ton of stuff like that in there.
That
Haunted House art is such a time and place thing to me. Like it really reminds me of like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark style.
Sure.
Creepy art.
Yeah. It's a good one. It is. They definitely do not do box art like that. No more.
Man, but they should. They really should.
I mean, I don't know if they do box art anymore. Key art for a page.
It's always just the back of some dude standing there holding a sword or a gun.
Uh-huh. Forever and ever. I bet like if you were to go back, like if you had like Elden Ring on the NES, I bet that would be some really good art. Or like a Dark Souls on the Atari.
I think you can just assume all the FromSoft stuff would have pretty good art.
Yeah, like really good, like a Bloodborne Atari game would have sick art. You know, just like a painting of that would be amazing. What else you guys been up to? Anything fun for your pre-summer? Let's call it pre-summer warm up.
Finally used that pine sole. Finally soldered something with it.
What'd you solder?
Worth every penny. I fixed the little cone PC speaker that broke. That is what I bought it for.
Fantastic.
And now I have no more soldering projects. That took about 5 minutes.
Don't worry. You'll find something eventually.
Still, worth every penny of the $50 I spent on the iron and the shipping and the soldering mat and stuff to not. In fact, I had no idea about oxidation on soldering iron tips.
Ah.
Just found out about that over the weekend, which probably explains why that old Radio Shack one doesn't work so well anymore.
Did you get the little like a foil or a Brillo pad cleaner for the pencil?
No, so I started looking at like, what is it, brass sponge?
Yeah.
Cleaners for soldering iron tips.
The funky spongy.
Probably need to order one of those. And then they say you should sort of clean it with one of those and then cover it with some solder every time you're done with it.
Yep. So it doesn't get all funky.
I mean, like a whole pack of tips for the Pinesol is like $4, but
okay,
still might as well try to keep it in good shape.
Fun, just kind of corollary here that will definitely not age me out is when the Radio Shacks were going out of business. I walked in and scooped up all of the soldering iron tips, and like just had like I don't know, must have been like 25 of them because they were like 20 cents each, and I just grabbed them all. Those, what else did I scoop up? All their soldering stuff was like, they were just like, just take it. Just,
I mean, you know, all that shit was going in a dumpster anyway.
Yeah. What I really wanted was that spinning rack of component parts, where they had like the resistors and capacitors in that little spinny rack. I did not get that, but I definitely had a bag. Oh, fuses. That was the other thing. Those little little fuses for like automotive fuses and stuff. They were just like, just give me $5 and you could just take whatever you want. I was like, okay. Radio Shack. Did Radio Shack ever come back?
No.
No. I still see occasional like empty like store spaces that still have the Radio Shack sign up, but they're gone.
Yeah, the one around here sat empty for like 2 or 3 years. I think did somebody like try to take control of the name or something?
It might have been like one of those weird NFT companies or something that tried to like rebrand it or bought the Twitter account or something.
Looks like they might now be owned by whoever controls Pier 1 and Linens and Things.
Oh, wow. Really?
And the Franklin Mint.
Wait, the Franklin Mint's the... And
Steinmart? I'm on RadioShack.com, and then straight up all of those brands are listed at the top. And it says, Radio Shack, Shack is back.
Is it back, though?
Is it back?
I don't know.
Radio Shack is a good podcast name for Shaquille O'Neal.
Tools and kits, zero products found.
Okay, great.
Radio Shack products, zero products found. Gaming, zero products.
Okay.
Are they in the middle of a relaunch that has not actually been populated with inventory?
I don't know. Whatever they end up doing, I guarantee you it will not last long.
Like, what
scroll down to the bottom, and next to how to build a gaming PC, do's and don'ts of crypto trading and investing.
Oh, boy.
Best crypto mining gear and hardware.
Oh, cool. Boy. Yeah. Oh, boy. No, we'll just cut boy. This off now. Yeah, but- We're good.
Crypto Trends 2022.
Ugh.
Let's just say, no backsies, you just inherited Radio Shack as a brand and you have to sell something. What does a Radio Shack sell in 2023? Do you like go super niche or do you try to go super mainstream? I mean, Funko Pops are on the shelf. I get it. They're just there. Is there anything else you put on there? Pinesel.
I just don't think anything that a Radio Shack does is valuable to a marketplace anymore.
Are you replacing cell phone screens?
Maybe.
I would rather go to the random place on the corner than go to a Radio Shack for that.
I mean, there is value in the hardware store aspect. If I need a specific capacitor and I can just drive 10 minutes and get one, but like, is that demand big enough to sustain a retail business?
Definitely not. Definitely not. Do you sell refurbished, like Amazon returns that are somewhat electronic in nature? Somebody returned this Dyson vacuum and we just refurbished it and now you can have it for $50 less at Radio Shack. I mean, they used to sell RC cars. That was kind of cool. They used to sell, I mean, aside from the electronic stuff. Then they got into cell phones for a while. That didn't seem to last. It was where you'd go if you wanted like the cassette tape that you can put in your car that lets you plug in your Walkman, I guess a Walkman wouldn't be the thing. Your CD player, your CD man. What were those called? Discman. Your Discman, so you can play it in your cassette radio. That's where you go. You go there for
that's a thing that I do still.
Do you still do that? They still make those? Oh, okay.
No, God no.
We go where you need like plugs for the variable voltage plugs, the wall warts. You go to the Radio Shack.
Oh yeah. I bought a rocker switch, toggle switch.
Okay.
At a Radio Shack in the late 90s, around 2000.
Yep. Project boxes. They used to have those all over there. Yeah, that's about it though.
Computers. They sold computers at one time.
Did they sell Compaq? Didn't they have like a brand, like a house brand? What is it? Tandy.
Tandy was the Radio Shack brand of computer.
Okay. That was a different
time. Interesting. Apparently the makers of Tandy bought Radio Shack. Is why Radio Shack sold Tandy.
Back when they were selling Tandys.
I thought it was the other way. I assume it was like the other way around, that Tandy was like the Radio Shack house brand, but it seems actually it was the reverse. Radio Shack was the house retailer of Tandy.
Huh.
Let's go back to named computers. You've got an IBM, a Tandy. Mm-hmm. I guess the Dell is still around, right?
Yeah. Tandys were not x86, though. Until I have just Googled this, I didn't know what they were. They were Zilog Z80 based, which...
Well, fuck that.
probably don't want me getting into the history of microprocessors. That was kind of one of the big three.
Zilog is a pretty good name, or a pretty good Futurama villain.
Yeah, it was the Zilog Z80, the MOS 6502, and the 8086 were kind of the big trio of original. Don't let me get into this.
Mm-hmm. Too late.
No,
you're here.
Keep going.
Original early home computing, those were like the three. So like the 6502 was the Apple II.
Uh-huh.
The Z80, this was later, but the Z80 was the Game Boy among a bajillion other things.
Okay, fine Tetris machine.
8086, 8088, and on, obviously, were the beginning of Intel's desktop dominance.
Can't imagine who won those wars.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, like, you know, the makers of those others were not really trying to be giant, you know, desktop players. I think they were probably happy just being embedded in a million different industrial scenarios.
Oh, sure. We probably still are.
Running
power plants somewhere.
Dude, that is a whole fucking fascinating rabbit hole of modern, like, currently manufactured old tech, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, there's still people out there making 486 variants because there are all these embedded industrial systems that still need to run on that.
Right, like, not hobbyists. It's to keep the power on.
There's a reasonably popular, basically, 486 system on a chip that's kind of an entire 486 PC on one die now that they sell for these compatibility situations.
That's so weird. Like,
yeah, it's awesome.
Like, is it just the effort to, like, change the whole system over, the unavailability of downtime to change the whole system over, or just all of the above, the cost?
Probably all of the above, you know, R&D on having to, like, spin this up on
something
a more modern architecture or platform is too much. We can't afford that much downtime. Also, you know, like, modern systems have a lot more complexity. You know, there's probably something to be said for the relative simplicity of that old stuff. You know, it's like, hey, we need this to do one thing and do it well.
That's so bananas, though. Are you training, like, old school guild style? I need to teach you how to, you know, open this COBOL book. We're gonna
For sure that, you know, for sure COBOL and Fortran programmers are probably more in demand than they've ever been.
That's so wild. My wife's dad was a mainframe programmer, and, you know, it's funny, like, you know, he won't, like, at a dinner or something, he won't speak much. And then the other day I was talking, and I was like, is COBOL, is that an acronym or something? She's like, I don't know, ask my dad. Like, come on. And just rattled it off. And I was just like,
great.
Like, that's fucking bananas. Like,
great.
And then just like, you talk about Fortran, just rattled, and then just like kind of went quiet again. told a COBOL story that had a lot of swearing in it, and about how he compiled something and they were so mad at him because it was in Fortran and not COBOL or whatever it was. And then it was just kind of quiet again. And just like, just such a different.
Yeah. I've heard, this sounds insane and sad to me if it's true. I don't know. It probably depends on who you ask, but I have heard some, like, relatively, like, well-known connected software people recently say that the C programmers are also becoming a little hard to find, which is bananas. But anyway,
like, general C, or
to go to the latest and greatest,
or like C plus, or just C.
I think
how many pluses?
C plus plus development is probably still a little more widespread. But
okay, yeah. How many
straight
pluses?
Straight up original C, I think, maybe is not something.
High C.
Yet again, probably don't need to get into this.
Listen, I got kids that I need to know where on career day they need to focus. And if it's like, see that old dude with the white beard sitting in the corner, like, go ask him what he needs, because he clearly is on the way out. You want a job? Just go get there. It's job security. Nobody's going to know what your full stack is in 20 years. It's all going to change. You know, got to know one stack, single stack. I read a thing recently. This is way in, way, way, way in the weeds. But I was recently looking at serverless CMS, headless CMS stuff. And basically, I'll try and get through this very quickly. But the way it works is, like, imagine distributed computer systems, right? Each component does a different thing in the cloud, and they all talk to each other. And Amazon AWS systems, right? Like, you spin up what you need, and they all talk to each other, and they do all this stuff. And it was funny because I was looking it up And you're like, okay, I'm going to look up this headless CMS. And then there's this thing by Amazon being like, we're going back to single server solutions. Like we have found,
there you go.
We have found the, for what we do, the cost for having all these separate things is actually more than if we just put it on a single rack, basically all of the pieces, which is very funny because they run AWS, which is a distributed solution. But you know, if you dig into it, it's like, well, look, it's not an all or nothing thing. Some solutions are better this way and some solutions are better this way, but just whatever is old is new. Yep. Whatever new is old.
Everything wraps back around eventually.
Yeah. Which
is just why, that's why I'm way ahead of the curve here, administrating my own Unix box.
That's right.
And not, yeah. Anyway,
Brad, single server solution, put it on a t-shirt. Alex, how long until you have the NAS in the house? Is that a year off thing?
I'm hoping less. We'll see. I mean, now that I have like a literal closet down there that I can use as a network closet, maybe I can actually put that together. I'm gonna probably spend some money on that thing when I do it. So.
Hell yeah! Like the network. You had so many. It's funny, the built-ins you have around there. You explained it to me, and feel free to jump in, but I don't want to tell people your business, but the person was a musician or at least was into music, right?
Who owned at least was doing music in their spare time. I think they also had been doing it for a very long time.
So there are tons of built-in spaces in the walls that are cassette sized and shallow enough for a cassette where like nothing else could really ever fit in there.
No, there's maybe this like very narrow picture of my grandparents. I can slide that in there or something. I don't know, but like it's definitely bespoke for a very specific purpose. The good news is that my purpose is like 80% of the way there for what that person was doing. So like the little bits that don't aren't as big of a deal.
Sure. Yes. You could find something to put in there, but
I can jam something into that space.
Recognizably cassette shaped.
But I have so many shelves. Oh my God. I have so many shelves. I'm getting rid of these bookcases because I don't need them anymore.
You're wall to wall shelves.
Yeah.
It's more shelves than I've ever seen in a place. And I love that because, you know, you look behind me. I've got tons of stuff to put on shelves. But a lot of shelves.
Yeah.
But I liked when you were showing me the place and you're like, this would be the server closet. And I was like, hell yeah, this would be the server closet. Server closet.
This is where the modem is. Might as well just like plug all this stuff in here. Let's just do it.
Yep. Build it up, NAS it up, rack it up. Might need a little bit deeper if you're going to go a rack in there, but you do it.
I don't think I can fill a full rack in there, but it's fine. Not. Like all I need is just enough space to kind of jam, you know, a NAS and a modem and a router and I'm good.
NAS. Nasty. And learn COBOL. And get
God. Do I have to start learning other stuff that isn't just Windows now? Do I have to finally get a refresher?
And it super depends on what you're looking to do. And what you get.
But yes.
Let's say I'm mostly using it for media storage and playback.
You'll like, you probably, like, my inclination is to just say to get a Synology of some kind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Unless you do a lot of transcoding in Plex, but even then, the higher end Synologies can do some transcoding.
Yeah.
Unless you're serving like 8 different people streams at one time, you're probably fine with that.
I don't have anyone currently using my Plex that is not me, but at some point I do kind of want to open up to like a few friends, but I can't do that with the bandwidth that I have now, so that's why I've never done it, probably
just do something embedded like that, because that's just a web interface to administrate it. So
I'd say you could probably get one of those turnkey, you could probably even do like a true NAS plugin with Plex plugin thing, but you might have after the initial setup you should be fine, but you'll probably everybody runs into problems with something, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm not expecting this to just be a plug and play and done.
Yeah. But
that'd be nice, but I'm not expecting it.
I probably need to update my NAS at some point, CPU wise, just for it's getting a little long in the tooth. It's having a little trouble as I try to bump up stuff and run subtitles and do burn in on anything 4K. I think it's starting to get a little.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't do that stuff well. It never has.
Yeah. Yeah. Brad, did you make the switch over to Jellyfin?
I have been using Jellyfin more.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm still running that and Plex side by side just in case.
Okay.
Like occasionally, I'll have to pop over to Plex because Jellyfin doesn't quite get something done correctly. But
can they share any, I know they can share the movie library or TV library?
Yeah, but they're pointing at the same files.
Can they share asset libraries? Or are they in?
No. They've got their own metadata and library formats.
Okay. Yeah. It'd be nice if they could. That stuff can take up some space as well.
Yeah. I can tell you right now how much they're taking up.
Alex, once you set up your stuff, you're going to need room for my backup there. Don't forget to. We'll back up to your house and you back up to me and we'll be fine. And then, you know,
this is the only reason you have friends, isn't it? Create an elaborate series of backups through their various networks.
That and never buy anything for your new house because I need to get rid of a lot of stuff here. So, whatever you need, tables, chairs, ham radio equipment, you know, just,
I've got stuff I need to get rid of first. So Let's start there.
Okay.
But yeah, I have like furniture. I've got to figure out what the fuck I'm going to do. Cause like half of it's like kind of broken. So I'm definitely not going to just throw it on Craigslist. Like, hey, come take this broken dresser. Because that's mean. I don't want to do that to someone.
If you say it's broken, people will take it. They know what they're getting into.
I can tell you the entirety of my Plex container. So that's an entire Linux install, basically. So some of that is not Plex, but it's 9.7 gig.
Okay, so that's not including the movies or TV.
No. That's just metadata. And then the Jellyfin one is 5.2 gig.
Okay, yeah. I mean,
look. Seems kind of high for basically just some thumbnails and a SQLite database or whatever it's using.
But
anyway, whatever. Its storage is very cheap these days. So that's fine.
It's not cheap enough. Not cheap enough. Now when you have to replace it every 2 to 3 years or cycle through. House. Toaster house. Ovens.
Life.
Programming.
Zilog Z80.
Zilog Z80. Radio Shack. I think we've covered pretty much everything. I'm like toast, man. I like woke up this morning and was just like
fully busted.
I am fully busted. I was like just completely like out of it. And like I need to go unwind is not right the right word, just like go for a walk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Very close to starting to sing the Johnny Cash classic Busted.
Yeah, I am busted.
I think that one is a little more about being broke rather than
mentally busted
rather than cashed.
It's one of those things where I'm like in such a mood already that if I go read the news I just get so angry because I'm already on like you know,
and that's just a regular staple of daily life now.
I guess so. Don't read the news. Don't read the news. I think we're going to wrap up here. Folks, in case you have missed it, we've got the, we covered the Sony showcase. We covered the Xbox showcase. We covered the Summer Games Fest opening night stuff. And we just recorded the Ubisoft stuff today. So if you're listening to this, when it goes up, you can catch all of those archives. Hopefully they're all up. It seemed like most of the copyright dings have been disputed or cleared. And it was very funny to see that Twisted Metal one get pulled the official Summer Games Fest thing down. But I think that got disputed and that's fine now. Check all that stuff out. We got the Watchcast. David Lynch's Watchcast continues. Mm-hmm. With Dune.
Yes. By the time this goes live, it will be up on the Patreon.
You can check that out, and we'll be watching Wild at Heart, so make sure to check that out as well.
Oh, I watched that one last night, buddy. Let me
you did?
You.
Okay. I'm watching that
the
tonight.
The ride is every bit what it was back at but the, every other time I've watched it.
Oh, fantastic. I'm looking forward to sitting with that one and checking it out.
We'll see how you feel afterwards.
Okay. Let's say I'm looking forward to being able to sit on a couch and watch a movie, whether it be Wild at Heart or not. Wild at Heart. And then we'll have Grab Bag this week. We'll have another stream on Friday. And then in a couple of weeks, around that July 4th week, we are going to be taking off for that week. No streams that week. Just in time for Busted for Busted Vinny to recoup. So hopefully the weather is nice and I'll be relaxing. I'll work on my garage and it'll be fine and fun and relaxing. Alex will be hauling junk from one apartment to not junk, but stuff. Stuff.
No, it's junk. Admittedly a lot of junk.
Junk. You think he'll be moved in around then or after that?
I think so. We're supposed to move at the end of this month. So
that's bananas.
Barring any disasters with, you know, the work that has to be done inside, I'm pretty sure we're going to hit that.
Knock on wood. So check out all that stuff, and we'll be back with another Ramblecast next week.